Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey Scott, how are you?
It is challenge week, my friend, and I am excited. I cannot wait. We are kicking it off in just a few days here, the 28th at 11 a.m. I feel like a broken record. And I'm just going to say it again. I think it's gotten better. I think it's we refined the process again. I'm excited for everybody that's signed up. If you're not signed up yet, you still have a shot. And I think it's going to be the best one yet. Okay. There, I said it. I ripped the bandaid off. I think it's going to be the best one yet. And I'm just super excited that it's starting here in a few days.
So am I. I love broken records, especially when they're my favorite records, because challenge time is exciting. Like everything else in my house.
I was so anti-challenge. Remember when I was anti-challenge? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I try not to remember, but yes, I do. But I mean, they're so much fun. They're so effective. There's so much energy in them. And I just love what comes out of the other side for everybody. You can see the eyes start to open because everyone starts to see that light at the end of the tunnel. Like no matter how many years of, you know, bad diet, you know, lack of success and bad psychology and wherever you're coming from, you know, if you fasted before, you never have, like, it doesn't matter. But just seeing that, you understand there's a plan and there's a method to the madness, and that you can get to that goal spot that you've been searching for. Like it's so cool.
Yeah. The realization that it's not fairy dust and unicorns and that there's actually like a real thing that we can tangibly latch onto.
Right.
You're like, oh, that's me. It's like when you told me about fasting back in the day. And then when I started reading all the books that you had read, and now we've gone through how many episodes and programs and research, and you know, we're working on algorithms and, you know, customized plans and all this stuff in it. But the juice is really in that, wow, like that 10 days of guided one-on-one every single day, where with you, you have a group, you have power in the Peloton, you've got the community, the accountability, and you just start peeling those layers off the onion. But in this time, it's not tears of pain and discomfort, it's tears of joy that we get to see in these people that are like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that I just lost 12 pounds in 10 days. I've never lost this much weight in my entire life. I don't understand what is happening. And then, of course, setting the expectations of what to expect after that initial, you know, 10 days and where you can go and what your options are, and, you know, helping everyone set their goals for the future. I just cannot believe that in the last year I went from, why would we do a challenge? Let's just make a course or, you know, start talking into a microphone. Well, you know, I was wrong, and I'm okay to admit that. So I appreciate you saying, well, no, I think we should do another one in the fall. Okay, yeah, no, I think we should probably do one before the holidays because I see this problem, you know. So we're always trying to add in and diversify and improve, and now we've realized that more people need this because there's such a huge request and demand for it. So we're going to start doing them our minimum this year. We're going to at least double our output from last year. So I'm excited. A few days here, we're going to get started. That's enough about the challenge. If you guys want to find it, go to www.thefastingforlife.com/live. If you're on our email list, you've probably been getting the emails. Don't miss out. Best way we can possibly think of starting 2021 off on the right foot and saying bye-bye to 2020, and just, you know, really ramping up here. So I'm going to stop talking because I can just feel like I'm just going to keep going and going and going. So let's talk about today's topic, which is going to be some of the fear that is built around doing a challenge like this, due to the lack of support in you know, your personal life or your home situation or work or spouse or all of those familial societal things that kind of can be roadblocks for people to really just jump in. And I think we should start with the first two rules of fasting.
Yeah. First two rules of fasting. If you're new to the podcast or you haven't heard us say it in a while, don't talk about fasting.
Especially if you're new to fasting. Okay. Just get it out there. Rule number one.
Yeah. Rule number one, don't talk about fasting. Rule number two, don't talk about fasting. Now rule number three, slowly, but once you're at a certain point, then you can start strategically talking about fasting. But in the beginning, it's really easy when you have outside influences and you have friends and family, like you said, kind of going, are you nuts? What are you doing? Because
why are you starving yourself?
Right. Most people just haven't.
Wait, you look great.
Like, you know, they're frustrated because they don't think that they think they're going to feel weird because they want to eat and you're not eating, or there's some sort of social aspect that you're not participating in, something along those lines. They just don't understand it, or they think that you're going to hurt or slow down your metabolism, like we hear constantly, you know, any number of fears, really.
So a couple that I really want to highlight would be something that we've seen pretty cool through the challenges this year, and we get a lot of messages about this too, is, you know, spouses. So being a spouse, I feel like I can speak to this, and also having taken care of hundreds of families over the years when I was in practice, full-time clinical practice, spouse dynamic is interesting. And then familial dynamic, meaning, you know, not just your spouse and your kids and your immediate family, but your extended family, you know, across different cultures, across different, you know, traditions and et cetera. There's a lot of moving parts here. And I remember having a consultation with a husband and wife at one point with our FDN at that time, who was heading up all of our metabolic and weight loss programs. And I, you know, gave her some background. She went into the consultation and the wife looked at the husband looked at the wife, and they both know they needed it. Right. And they both admitted it. And we took them through the process, and they literally couldn't pull the trigger because they said, if we don't eat, because they live with their mom, right? So her mom actually lives in the house with them. She's like 85 years old. And if they don't eat what mom cooks, it completely ruins mom's day and she becomes like a monster. Oh, and wow. The wife looked at the husband and was like, no, we can't do this, because if mom's not on board, like, we're going to absolutely just crush her. And she's 80 whatever years old. And the literally reason why they didn't take their health back into their own hands was because mom, they didn't want to disrespect mom. So there's some really deep rooted ties, you know, in this stuff. And, you know, in that situation, I just said, well, I mean, who's going to take care of mom if you guys get sick? Like, you know, so it was just this big disconnect. So when we talk about the spouse piece, you know, my wife and I live differently in the world of food and consumption and tracking and what works for each one of us. But we also are a cool dichotomy. Because you can get results a lot of different ways. And I've tried the way she does it, multiple different iterations. And so have you, Tommy, and it didn't work for us. And there's some reasons why. But, you know, on day five, you named it something really cool, where we see people jump into the challenge, they start seeing results. And then all of a sudden we hear these whispers on day four or five that there's been a change.
Right. Yeah. We lovingly termed it the marriage merge, where by day five of the 10-day ramp up, the spouse tends to have come on board at that point, where somewhere in the background, they've been seeing the videos and they've been hearing what's going on, and they've been kind of seeing the change in the other one who's participating in the challenge. And they say, okay, well, I'm going to do whatever you're doing for the next few days. And usually by the end of it, we hear some kind of awesome testimonial. And sometimes it's even bigger than the person who had, you know, who had originally signed up. It's really cool to kind of see that and see that shift, where somebody goes from just completely, you know, not being on board at all, having never tried it, or maybe they did in the past, but you know, within a period of just a week or so, you know, having a completely new, you know, change of heart. And the like you said, the powers in the Peloton, like there's so much power in having your spouse on board, Like that's a huge thing. That resistance can be the difference between success and failure, and having them on board can be, you know, just this synergy that comes about within the household. It's so much easier to follow anything that requires, you know, any sort of like, you know, understanding of a plan and sticking to it and long-term, you know, kind of guidance and adherence. That's so much easier when your other half isn't, you know, kind of going in a different direction.
Well, yeah, you might have the people at work that think you're crazy, or your doctor that might not be in agreement with what you're trying to do because, you know, maybe it's the time for medication or you're on medication and you want to come off it, and they're saying, well, you can't. And you're like, well, I can, this is what I want to do.
Right.
But having your spouse in your corner is huge. And we'll talk about family and kids in a minute too, adult offspring versus little offspring, right? Because we've had some mm-hmm. clients that have had, you know, the newlyweds living with them, and it creates, you know, an issue when, you know, so much is around the food schedule, right? The family connection, having dinner together. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. The mom in the example that I gave you that wants to cook three meals a day for the husband and wife, right? Like that's her only purpose yeah. in life. Living with them is to provide, like that's how she finds purpose. So there's so mm-hmm. these different levels. And I will say this, that 80-20, 80% of the time, it's the woman who starts and then the guy follows suit. And I'm speaking mm-hmm. from being a male, and I can say this, we're stubborn. We don't typically tap into our emotions. We don't typically care as much when it comes to the aesthetics, right?
Right.
And we're just wired differently, right? So a lot of the times it's the woman who starts, and then we hear about this great transformation of the husband coming on board reluctantly at first, but then a lot of times willing to support. And it reminds me of a situation where we got a Facebook message once from a gentleman who had been following us and gotten great results. But he's like, I don't know what to do. Like, guys, can you help me? My wife just doesn't believe in it. She doesn't want to do it. She wants to go back to Weight Watchers. I'm like, we've spent mm-hmm. thousands of dollars on Weight Watchers and it hasn't worked. And he's like, I don't want to spend the money on it anymore. He's like, it's not working. He's like, I can't right. figure out how to get her to come on board. And they apparently were taking a road trip. And I was like, well, just play the podcast in the car. Like, you're the driver, right? We have a rule. Whoever drives gets control of the playlist, right?
So, yeah, that's a rule.
Yeah, it's a rule. So that's why I drive all the time. So luckily, my wife and I both like country music. And well, now it's the kids. We have a kids playlist. And I'm like, what are we listening to? Why are we listening to Elsa again?
But they're not driving.
Right. Like, how did this happen? No rules. So anyway, he messaged back and he's like, my wife's on board. You know, after like the third or fourth episode, you know, you guys were able to convert her. And I was like, well, it's not us. It's the third party authority, right? Like it's that third party authority. You use it in business, personal life, finances, whatever. When you bring that third party in, you know, it allows for there to be some sort of justification and acceptance, rather it being that, you know, butting head type thing. So it's really,
yeah, cool. No preconceptions.
Yeah. With that marriage merge that we've seen. And I love that term, but it's, and I'm sure there's a lot more out there that don't want to tell us that their husband's doing the program too,
yeah.
Or their wives are doing the program too, because the whole, you know, registration thing, but,
right. But we love it
either way. Yeah, we don't care. Like get the results, spread,
get
the
your
word,
whole family on board. So great.
Yeah, absolutely. So really cool stuff. I think I want to transition, Tommy, into talking to about the little ones, right? So you and I both have little mm-hmm. ones, in the 20 month to 4 year old category.
Right.
We've had multiple conversations, you know, our moderator and our challenges as well, has four kids, all different ages. Some of our monthly coaching, group coaching continuity clients, have expressed this concern, and it's really how to frame. And I don't want to forget about talking about the older kids too, but you know, when they're the grown adults, the grown kids, mm-hmm. But the little ones, it's like, there's a concern that we don't want to be showing them a poor way of looking at food or eating, or we need to worry about nutritional concerns, et cetera. And the way you framed it the other day was really cool. And then we had some feedback from one of our, you know, group coaching people as well, that I thought was really, really, really cool and hopefully encouraging to you guys that are kind of on the fence about whether or not you should do this or whether or not this can work long-term for you. That there are ways to do this in a healthy manner. And I'm going to push back on, you know, the whole dieting industry as a whole in terms of the philosophy behind it and how that has a negative impact more than what we're talking about here.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, kind of getting to the root of it if you think of the typical kind of low and slow dieting and the small calorie deficits and well, let me say this, this all came from a point of what your kids see and how they see you interacting with food and, you know, not wanting to, you know, kind of give them negative connotations about food or, you know, affect their image with, for, a diet or, you know, had the way you eat and the eating patterns and things like that. So if, you know, most people who are doing low and slow dieting and doing things like that, they might find themselves on some sort of yo-yo, some sort of, you know, kind of roller coaster where they're talking about being on a diet and talking about the frustration points and the struggles with food and things like that on a consistent basis. So even when we heard these questions, I think the people who said them, I'm not sure if they considered the fact that these children would be seeing and hearing that for a long time. And so seeing the struggles and the misunderstandings behind, you know, calories and things like that, and the struggles that can go along with it, versus the simplicity and the control that you get with fasting. I think you were already on a better track there, but when they were worried about something like, let's say skipping a meal, like not having dinner with your family specifically. But, you know, I just looked at my son the other day and he said, "Dada, eat." And I said, no, not right now. And he said, "Dada, why?" And I said,
"Well, why question?"
Huh. Yeah. "Dada, why? Why?" You know, he's what, 26 months now. And, you know, it's just, it's constant throughout the day. "Dada, why?" But I said, because, well, actually that one wasn't for dinner. I think that one was for breakfast. Cause what, yep, I said was, no, breakfast is for growing kids. Like, dad's already grown. I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need breakfast.
Like, yeah, we grow sideways when we have that, yeah, that big breakfast.
Right. That's not what I want to do. And he said, "Oh, okay." You know, and he just moved on to his next why question. Like, it was totally fine. But I thought just his understanding, his kind of natural intuition, you know, for that. And that flew over well with my 3.5-year-old as well. But we get that question a lot. Like, what do I tell my kids if I'm not eating a meal?
Yeah. And I think it was, you know, someone else who had mentioned it. And I love the fact, so I want to talk about the discipline piece in a second, but I love the fact that, you know, when my daughter will ask me, "Dad, are you eating tonight?" And I'm like, "Well, no, I'm not." "Well, why?" "Well, I ate earlier, so I'm not hungry." Mm-hmm. Right? Right. So just a simple answer, giving them the affirmation that, yes, you're still eating. But the problem is I made a whole bunch of lifestyle decisions leading up to this point where my body was metabolically unfit. It was not healthy. So, mm-hmm, my pushback on this is your health is your most important asset, especially as a father or a mother or someone that has the responsibility of offspring. Like, you can't send them back. Like, I want to some days, right? Like, you can't return them. Like, you are now their caretaker, right? Like, nobody told me about this. Yep. When, yeah, 24/7. Nobody told me about that piece and how I thought I had no free time before. Right? Like, nobody told us about that. So it's like, oh yeah, you literally have the responsibility, you know, to do your best as a parent, right? So we don't, my thing is like, well, I need to be at my best. I need to be healthy. So what works for me? Well, I fast. So framing it in the way of, I've already eaten, I'm not hungry. You know, and typically they just kind of move on and they're okay with it, right? I'd rather that conversation than, "Oh, daddy's on a diet. He's going to eat like a rabbit for the next 6 months."
Right? And be angry, like, about it.
And be, right, angry about it, right? And then when
I'm going to see him yell at the scale.
Yeah, or be afraid of the scale. Like, my daughter gets on the scale now and she's like, 3, 2.5. Yeah.
Right.
Like,
hey everyone, I want to tell you about an incredible company called Air Doctor Pro. You can go to airdoctorpro.com, use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off one of their amazing air filters. By supporting them, you're supporting us and the show. I want to tell you an incredible testimony. We now know that the indoor air is 2 to 5, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted than the outdoor air, according to the EPA. And my son has been struggling with sleep. He hasn't slept. He's over 2 years old. He hadn't slept through the night his entire life. My wife and I had done everything. We could not figure it out. We put an Air Doctor Pro in his room, and I am not kidding. The first night he slept through the night. He went over 30 nights in a row for the first time ever, sleeping through the night. We don't know what it did or what was in the air because we've had our house tested, but whatever it's doing is allowing him to rest and sleep peacefully for the first time. And for that, it is absolutely priceless. Air Doctor Pro comes with 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Minus shipping, head to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off any of their air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you'll also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in the special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code FASTINGFORLIFE.
There's just a level of it, like excitement about it, you know, and we're not talking about, you know, situations where there's, you know, health concerns, childhood obesity, genetic, like we're not talking about the outlying situation. We're talking about the majority of the day-to-day interactions with our kids, mm-hmm. And the people that we've, you know, that people have come to us and asked, you know, what about this situation? So I like that framework of, yeah, I already ate. I liked your framework of like, well, no, breakfast is for growing kids. Like, I love that. That was so cool. And then there was another good one about discipline. When, you know, really like working on it from a discipline, a delayed gratification, almost type of thing, rather than always just being able to consume. We're at the park the other day, and then Tommy, I'm gonna be quiet. I promise. I'm just so fired up about this challenge. So we're at the park the other day, and we bring our dogs. It's a big fence and park. You've been there, the big blue park, right? And these kids come over the hill and they said, oh, your dog's over the fence. We're like, yeah, we know. And they're like, oh, by the way, you know, there's coyotes out here. It's like middle of the day, right? We're not worried. So they came over and they were just laying on the swings lackadaisically. And I heard one of them say to the other one saying, hey, let's go back. I'm going to ask my mom if she can take us to the gas station because I want snacks. And I'm like, okay, these kids are literally laying on the swings. They're not being active. They're not playing soccer. They're laying on the swings. Mm-hmm. They're going to walk back home, go ask mom to take them to the gas station, right? That I go to. It's right around the corner.
In a car.
Mm-hmm. And like pick up what? Cheetos, Bluebell ice cream. And I'm like, oh, okay. What are we talking about here? Like a little bit of discipline and delayed gratification. I mean, I wish I would have learned what delayed gratification was a long time ago. I'd have a lot more of the money that I made in the restaurant industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wouldn't have just bought and spent the cash that was in my pocket so feverishly, right? I would have realized, you know, that
on the food that you wish you could return as well.
Right. I don't need the wings from when I was powerlifting back in the day. You can have those back, right? So I like this idea of discipline and how they were working on that as a family, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. And she mentioned something like, well, in the challenge, we're working on seeing how disciplined we can be. And I think kids understand that, like from, you know, an intuitive standpoint, you know, pushing yourselves to new boundaries and things like that is obviously depending on what age the kids are. But she said that resonated with them. And
yeah, let's get this clear. The kids were not on a time restricted eating window.
No.
She was explaining it to her kids why she wasn't having the, you know, three or four. My son is a perfect example. He eats 24/7. Like, mm-hmm. We hide the food, we lock the cabinets, and all of a sudden he's eating again. I'm like, how are you? He's also like massive. And I'm like, how are you doing this? Like, why is this happening? So just for clarification, they were not doing this together as a family. You know, she was talking about her and how she's getting her health back, explaining it to
her
kids.
Right. Exactly why she was, you know, skipping that meal or why she had set a timer for the next time that she was going to eat. But, you know, and even for my 3.5-year-old, using a phrase like, well, you know, we could go to Chipotle or something like that. And she says, well, Dad, why aren't you eating lunch today? And I said, well, I already had this meal. I already ate this meal. And, you know,
the chicken and guac's expensive. That's why.
Right. Absolutely. It is. And I'm still carrying some, you know, and she said, okay, you already ate this meal. Okay. When? She always asks when. And I said, well, I'm not sure exactly when, probably like a few years ago. And she goes, okay. And then just on to the next subject. Like that makes sense to her. That is literally what happened to me. And there's not this whole like, you know, negative, you know, image or explanation and kind of things like that. It makes sense to her and she can understand it.
I like the one. So I really like the discipline piece. And then I also liked the conversations we've had lately around the older kids. So older kids, maybe they moved out, they've gone away to college, they come back for the weekend, right? Do the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
home cooked meals, pick up the, you know, another package of socks because they, you know, they ran out or they left them in the laundry, you know, all that college age, you know, grown, you know, maybe they're newly married and they come back. We hear all these different conversations and it's like, okay, well, that is not a reason to not take control of what you can control, which is the most important thing you have, in our opinion, which is your health. So
right.
Why not hop on board and learn how to make that non-negotiable, right? We talk about non-negotiables, your date night, my date night, our family days, you know, our celebrations for birthdays, et cetera. Those are non-negotiables, right? So we put those into our schedule and then we learn how to work that schedule to make the life that we want. So the social, the family, the external, you know, forces are going to work against you when you start a new program like this, especially when you tell people that you're not eating for 18, 24, 26, 28, 36 hours. They're like, huh? So don't do it when your kids come back on the weekend. Like, set yourself a window, give yourself 4 hours. They show up, you have a charcuterie board. That's a fancy word for cheese and meat and olives and stuff, right? Just learned that recently. I was like, oh, that's a cool word. No idea why you just can't call it cheese and meat. But anyway, and then you have it, you have a glass of wine, you have dinner, you hang out. Like you give yourself that ability and that flexibility. So if you're on the fence about, you know, the challenge and whether or not sticking with fasting or doing OMAD or pushing the window and going to longer fasts is right for you. Well, if everything else you've been doing isn't working, the worst thing that happens with this is that it doesn't work, but we're going to work our darndest and our hardest to make sure that we give you everything you need to make sure that it is the answer you've been looking for, like it has been for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really love that example with the older kids, because that speaks to a few of the people that you know, had some good success, but also we're kind of struggling to find some of that balance, that kind of life balance on the longer term side, like after the challenge was over, and how to keep that momentum going, and understanding how to prioritize when their kind of social familial aspects changed. Because for a few people that looked like grown kids coming into the house and being there, you know, kind of all weekend or maybe all throughout the week, throughout the whole winter break, I think is probably what happened for a lot of people. And just understanding how to prioritize that and make those special get-togethers a non-negotiable, but then also setting up some of the easy to follow boundaries for some of the rest of the time, because just because you have family in town for a whole weekend doesn't mean it has to be, you know, binge off the rails kind of weekend, right? You know, like you can really enjoy the time, but you don't have to set yourself back, and you don't have to regret any of that time too. And that's part of what we go into in the challenge too, how to make it real and sustainable.
Yeah, and I just love the overlap that we've been experiencing with the challenges and the groups and the monthly coaching and just the conversations over the last year. We've really been able to hone in on the sticking points, you know, of why, you know, weight loss doesn't work, right? And it literally very rarely has to do with, you know, the scale. I'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of other things and a lot of other pieces, and this is one of them. This is the big piece, you know, family, friends, and support. So if you are on the fence, it's time to act now. We got a few days left. It is not too late. You have not missed anything. Hop on. You can go to our website, thefastingforlife.com/live. If you guys have been on the journey with us for a while, stick with us. We've got some really, really cool resources and things we're working on that we're going to be rolling out here in the next few weeks to months. Appreciate all of you that have listened. Tommy, any last thoughts or anything to add before we kind of hop off and, you know, next episode we record will be during the challenge. So we promise to bring you new content and new conversation, just like we always strive to bring you something that's impactful and actionable. But yeah, that'll be the next episode. So just excited, Tom. Any last thoughts before we wrap up for today?
I think I just want to highlight what you said earlier, which was just that, you know, if you're looking to regain control and take back control of your health, then don't let the small obstacles stand in your way, like that little question mark about how to talk to your kids about it. And if you have some point of struggle or discomfort, reach out. Like that's what we're here for. Reach out to us. Bring it up during the Q&A session and the challenge. And like that's the kind of thing that we do so we can get past it, because that's what makes it real. And that's what makes it, consistent and being able to actually stick with it and do it.
Right.
And that's why we're seeing results that are unusual.
Full transparency, whatever you decide to do, if you have questions, reach out to us. That's why we started this.
Yeah.
We love it. We love the conversation. Let us help if we can. We don't have all the answers. If we don't have them, we'll work our little butts off to find them for you, point you in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the stuff we hear from a day-to-day and week-to-week is stuff that we've struggled with and help people through as well. So, Tommy, as always, sir, appreciate you. And I will see you on the challenge here in 3 days.
Perfect. Looking forward to it. Bye.
So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free fast start guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.